Hey everybody, welcome back to Cocktails and Spirits. This is Alfonso, also known as Fonz. I am solo today and I'm here to talk about the Tales of the Cocktail. This past week was the big event in New Orleans that I was super excited to go and finally be out to check it out for the first time myself in person, and it was way more than I expected. It is an amazing event. If you have been listening throughout, you know, this past year, I interviewed CEO Eileen Wehner of Tales of the Cocktail Foundation back in April 24th, and she talked a little bit about what the event is. Tales of the Cocktail is one of the biggest drink industry events. You know, it's a place where brands show up, bartenders in the industry show up, brand ambassadors, brand owners, and anything within the industry. It's like a Comic-Con for bartenders and spirit enthusiasts, for brands. It is a huge event in New Orleans and the French Quarter. It is at the Ritz-Carlton, so it's a fantastic place to do it. When my expectations for it were, I don't know what I was expecting. You know, I was expecting to show up and there was going to be a lot of just kind of like, I guess this is going to sound bad, kind of like boring events, but it's far from what it is. It is very fun. It is unique. You could tell that these brands put a lot of time and effort into creating an amazing experience for whoever shows up to, you know, learn about the brand, learn about the history, learn about what they're doing. Because a lot of them are, you know, doing things to try and, you know, create a social impact, to help communities, just do a lot of different things. And what's cool is you get to hear it a lot of the times from the owners and or from very like high up their ambassadors that really care for the brand, and you get to hear their passion about it. So Lucy and I, when we got there, we had a full book day. So one of the cool things is all these brands send out emails of events they're hosting throughout the city. And it's not just at the Ritz-Carlton. A lot of brands rent out venues, restaurants, bars. They take over. Sometimes it's not just the brand. Sometimes it's the whole portfolio of whoever is carrying them. For example, like William Grant & Sons portfolio, they threw a huge party. And some of the brands were there were Milagro Tequila, Monkey Shoulder Scotch, Hendrick's Gin. There was a couple more. Can't remember them off the top of my head. But so their party is William Grant & Sons portfolio. And it's like a huge, huge event where they're just bringing in a ton of entertainment. They're bringing in creative drinks. I think that's one of the coolest things at Tales of the Cocktail. All these events had about minimum, depends on the size of the event, there was about, you know, 3 to 6 to 7 different bars. And all of those drinks were different and unique. And they had maybe 2 to 3 bartenders and each one was making one drink. So it's very organized as a, you know, kind of like those bars are kind of like mobile bars in a way. So I was like looking at how they're, you know, they're handling, they're all pre-batched. Everything was pre-batched, you know, so they're bringing down the process of 5 to 7 ingredients to just 2. Adding 2 ingredients, you know, shaking and getting it ready to go. And then you see bar backs bringing ice, you know, because they don't have a, you know, properly made well like you do at a bar top or a restaurant. So it was all like mobile bars. So that was kind of cool because I was paying attention to that. You know, they're struggling like I am, keeping the ice cold on coolers without melting. So that was kind of unique because all I thought about was my mobile bartending business and how they are basically mobile bartenders. And they, at that moment, at least. So that was cool. I'm going to go through the list of like things we did. Our first event was a Mr. Black. It was called Mr. Black Cool Beans event. And that was cool. They had a lot of frozen drinks featuring Mr. Black. And the creativity behind these drinks is amazing. There was a drink that originally I thought was Mr. Black and Tamarindo, because they had one with tamarindo. But apparently it was Mr. Black and raspberries, but it tasted like tamarindo. But that thing was amazing. I have the picture of it somewhere, of the screenshot. It was raspberries, mint, and it was so, so good, so refreshing. They had affogato, so they get a very good scoop of ice cream. I think it was some sort of vanilla, you know, and then just put Mr. Black on it. Oh, man, tasty treat. So that's kind of like the cool things that a lot of these brands weren't doing, just boring drinks. They were getting creative with, you know, a bunch of different drinks. That night after, actually, we went to the Patron Mixología de México. And one of the cool things they did was they were featuring Patron in raspados. And if you know, like, I mean, it's like a shaved cone, right? But in Mexico, we call them raspados. And that was pretty cool how they, I forgot the flavor, but it was so good. And it was unique. It's nothing you get going at your average bar. I mean, some do it. I've seen it. But it's not just like you could walk in and order, hey, I'll take a raspado with Patron. So that was unique. The next place we went to was that same night we did get to meet the Fortaleza crew. So that was cool. We've met Kobe. We hadn't met Guillermo yet. So that was cool. That, you know, meeting the man behind Fortaleza, a brand that all of us tequila enthusiasts, you know, hold in a pretty high regard and talk about constantly and even seek out. And it's the brand that's seeked out by just about anyone trying to make a transition into getting into tequila or collecting. Yeah, that was an awesome moment. We took a picture with him. Great guy. Gave us a couple of minutes of his time. And then we just partied a little bit with him. Enjoyed some Fortaleza. And that's the only spot I drink beer. So I drink a couple of Modelos right there. So that was cool. The next day was a busy day. That Tuesday, we had about 7 events that we RSVP'd for. We ended up missing 2. But we started with going at All Kinds Algorithm Cocktail Bar. From my understanding is they are a pop-up bar at several Ritz-Carlton. They do pretty cool stuff. We had, Lucy and I have been trying to remember this, what this drink had, but it was a clarified cocktail with coconut milk, I think. Super interesting, super delicious, kind of a unique futuristic presentation and vibe going on there. It was pretty cool. One thing right there they did was they kind of showcased, they had all their garnishes out and all their pre-batching, and you could just see it and see how efficient it is when pre-batching. And that's one thing when you're working at somewhere and you're only making, from a bartending sense, you're only making, you know, you have 6 drinks on the menu and you know they're going to fly. The best thing to do is just pre-batch, and just, you know, run those drinks and be ready. I'll always say, like, working bartending and creating one drink is easy. But when you're working at a fast volume, that's not a dive bar, you know, you have to be ready and you have to skip those multiple steps and bring it to narrow it down to as little as possible to be efficient, or else there's going to be a line, there's going to be unhappy guests, and people aren't going to be having a good time. So it was really cool to see that, to see how, you know, there's a lot of thought process into the drinks and how every single one of these bars was creating crafty drinks and making them and handing them out as efficient as possible. The next event was Elijah Craig Old Fashioned Week. And that was kind of a media thing for Tales of the Cocktail, where we, you know, Elijah Craig Foundation donates and pledges money during Old Fashioned Week. And they try to involve as many bars and restaurants to be part of it. And they donate up to $100,000. I did forget, I don't have the foundation name right in front of my face, but they were talking about all that community aspect. The Heaven Hill ambassador was there. One of the Heaven Hill's ambassador was there. So that was cool. And then there we did meet Rich and Don, which are from, they have a podcast from Fermented Adventure. We got to meet them, hang out with them, you know, enjoy the snacks that were there. And I got to share Valor Tequila with them. They both enjoyed it. they also have a, they have their podcast where they talk about anything fermentation. So it's pretty cool. I've added them to my rotation. You guys should check them out. And then in the future, we hope to, you know, hop on each podcast, theirs, ours, or co-launch it and just, you know, talk about our experience there, how we got into the industry, and just what they do, talk about their podcast, what we talk about in ours. Just kind of like, just, you guys know how it is. You just meet people within the industry, become friends, and just move on from there. So that it was cool meeting them and talking to them. Following that, that next thing we did was the one seminar I really wanted to attend. Now, the way the seminars work is, as a media, I had access to them. I didn't have to pay for them. I just had to stand in line and wait, right? So they don't guarantee entry, but you just have to, as long as there's room and you're there, you get in. For example, for Lucy, we bought her a day pass for Tuesday because she wanted to be with me at the seminar, and for just being, you know, being, saying what it was about $190 for that day pass. And that got her access to the tasting rooms at Tales of the Cocktail for Tuesday and to any seminar she wanted to attend, as long as she was in line and waiting and there was room. So she got access to all of that. There were other options to have a day pass, like week pass. That one was pretty pricey. I think it was over $600, but I'm sure for people that wanted to have access, full access, it was available. But what the cool thing about Tales of the Cocktail is that they put out their schedule maybe a month and a half ahead, maybe 2 months. So you could kind of pick and see what you want to do and see what day you want to get a day pass for. So for example, as soon as we saw, you know, that Agave Geeks Unite, led by Jesse Estes from Tequila Ocho, I instantly knew if there was a seminar we wanted to attend, it was going to be that one, and we were going to be there. Okay, so we get there, and this is after Monday. I went out a little too hard, drink a little too much. At all these events, one thing to know, all the drinks are 100% free. I did not pay a single cent for any drink the whole trip. These brands give it all away. And there's some food too, finger food. So that's awesome. Okay, so getting into the waiting, while we were waiting for the Agave Geeks, we had done a little bit of drinking at the Algorithm and the Old Fashioned thing. And I didn't have a hangover, but it was kind of like, you guys know when you're like, oh, you're just a little drowsy, a little tired, not ready. So in my head, going into the seminar, I was like, okay, this is going to be a 2-hour break. I'm going to get to hear about, you know, agaves from Jesse Estes, Chris Maxwell. Chris Maxwell, Ivan Saldana, and Alba Huerta. And of course, Julio Bermejo from Tommy's Margarita. So that was an amazing panel. I thought we're going to get a break from drinking. And then when they opened the doors and you walk in, I just see every single seat had a massive tasting lineup of 4 tequila ochos and 4 mezcal vagos, about 1 ounce pours, 3/4 to 1 ounce pours. And then you could tell people were just, they were just telling them, just pour a little bit, because one of my wife's pour was at least a 1.5 ounce pour. So like, it was just, they weren't using jiggers. They were just pouring. And I was just like, oh my God, these are 8. These aren't even, you know, like 3 to sample. These are 8. Anyways, once we're there, we're troopers. We started sampling. We're talking the sampling. I mean, the tasting wasn't the seminar wasn't on what we were tasting specifically. It was just kind of like, they'd bring it up. Okay, we're going to taste these next as we go. And then the topic was agave. They were talking a lot about the industry, how it was before, how it is now, how it affects, you know, restaurants, bars, how bar owners are, in what kind of state they are in. Like Julio Bermejo mentioned how he used to order, you know, 50 cases of Fortaleza and be stocked up for a couple of months. And then it went down to, you know, 12, four cases. And now he gets six bottles a month, if lucky, right? So that's just a state. And then that's just one example, and it's just the main example, Fortaleza. But there's a ton of other brands that, you know, have become allocated. And now even brands, I mean, restaurants and bars like Julio Bermejo that are like well-known in the industry, and as I would say, have great connections. Those connections mean nothing when you can't get the allocation or when your distributor is trying to source it and have they have to get it to other spots as well. So he was saying how he's struggling with that, and sometimes he can't have you know, certain brands that he would like to have available. The same with Alba. She was talking about that. For her bar, she has a bar as well, and they were just going through that. And then one thing, Ivan Saldana, he was pretty, I had never met him, and he's pretty unapologetically him and talks about whatever he feels, which it was refreshing to see that. He's not looking to make a good impression. He understands he's a business, and he does take care of many things that he has to do. He cares about education, but he also knows that, you know, he has people to feed, and he was a great talk. We actually had a second encounter with him at a Wednesday event, but that seminar was awesome. It was great to learn and talk and, you know, revisit with Jesse. Jesse's awesome. He can lead it. He leads a seminar and makes it interesting, and he really got every panelist involved. That was cool. Our next event was called Prima e Dopo Amaro Montenegro. Amaro Montenegro is a delicious, delicious, delicious Amaro. It's so good. So as soon as I saw this invitation, I wanted to make sure we were there. They also had it was a co-op with Select Aperitivo. And that had the coolest bar we saw. That there was a whole bar made out of ice. Like, they just molded and froze a bar with ice. And because it's so much ice, it's not going to melt for a while, even though it was super hot in New Orleans. It held for a couple hours, which is all they needed. And the bartender, she was just working from an ice bar. That was awesome. That was cool. And that's some of the things, I mean, like, brands get really creative just to showcase their brand in certain ways and just make it a unique experience. That was cool. They had great drinks. At that event, I got a chance to meet Jordan Hughes, who Eric and I both interviewed on the podcast. You know, he's also known as it is cocktail photographer. He has two. Oh no, yeah, I think cocktail photographer and high proof preacher is his main Instagram account. He was a great chat when we had him on the podcast, so you should go back and check that one out if you haven't. And he was also, you know, awesome to talk to and meet in person and just, you know, have a little talk with. So that event was cool. After that, we skipped a couple of events. We unfortunately had to skip the Mezcal Mal Bien. Zacate, I think, was their new expression that they were going to do. We really wanted to check that one out, but that one was a little bit far out. It was very easy to Uber everywhere. We used a lot of Uber, but we kind of chose to go to William Grant and Sons Portfolio over the other one because we heard that they put on the show, and I brought them up earlier, and they sure do. I mean, they had fire dancers. They had, I think they hula danced at some point, fire breathers. They had, you know, people dressed up as gifts for Christmas because Hendrick's little campaign was Christmas in July. They gave away beach towels. That's one thing, you know, I haven't brought up. All these events, they have a ton of brand swag, brand apparel that they're just giving away. And you just stock up. You know, if it's available, just grab it. We came back with so much beach towels from Hendrick's, Teremana, bags, tote bags. They all had tote bags. Some of them were really good quality, like Mr. Black and Montelobos had a tote bag with bottle holders, which was really cool. And that there was a lot. We brought back things to give away to some of our friends over here. And that event was awesome. That event, actually, we only The only drink we had was a Hendrix, like an ice cream cone, but it had absinthe and Hendrix in there. So it was like a treat. And that's the only one we had because, again, Monday, a little hard. Tuesday was a good amount of drinking, especially at the seminar. And we just kind of wanted to slow down. And so we just had that little treat, hung out, and just, you know, got some cool things. The next day, we let it off with podcast interviews. So I was able to record three podcast interviews. One was with Mike Winters from Quinta Lisa Tequila. You know, they're creating a very delicious tequila that is aged in coffee barrels. So it was awesome to meet. I actually met Mike the night before at Fortaleza. We hung out a little bit. And then we had the interview that morning. And that was awesome. I had a second interview with Matt Petrick, Rumwonk on Instagram. That interview is pretty cool. Anytime we get to talk about rum, it's awesome, just because, you know, it's too scary of a spirit. There's so much. But that was a great interview. I did have a third interview, which I'll just say which one it is, with Master Distiller Tony Sayas from El Tequileño. So it's three interviews I recorded. I'm going to bring them out, you know, weekly. That way it's content. We're not going to throw them all together. I'm just going to spread them out. We have a couple of interviews that are backed up as well. And so if in a month you hear one that says from Tales of the Cocktail, it's just, you know, that's when I'm launching it. So those interviews are going to be great. On Wednesday, after we concluded the interviews, we went to Campari. They had an event called Dia de Fiesta, and they featured Montelobos, Espolón, and Ancho Reyes, in Mexican style theme. Dia de Fiesta, there was pan dulce everywhere, churros, conchas. I call them corazones, but I think some people call them the orejas. That was cool, man. That's so good. They had Ancho Reyes. There was a tasting with mole led by Ivan Saldaña, which, again, very unapologetic. Talked about he's the owner of Montelobos and Ancho Reyes, master distiller, sorry. Owner as well, actually. I think he's both. And we got to taste the new Ancho Reyes, which is aged in bourbon barrels. And it was good. It was a... I'll be honest, I've never been a huge fan of Ancho Reyes because I feel like it gets lost in the cocktail. But this one that was aged in the barrel, just the flavors were much stronger. And I feel like in a cocktail, it would really do the job that it's supposed to do, in my opinion. Now that we got to try Montelobos Pechuga, Montelobos Espadín, regular Ancho Reyes, and Ancho Reyes aged in bourbon barrels, along with mole. They had mole with handmade tortillas. Oh, so good. And then since Lucy's vegan, she couldn't have hers, so I doubled down and ate both. Amazing. Amazing. It was a beautiful pairing. And this one was kind of like people were more alive. They were dancing. There was music playing. They had great mango margaritas upstairs. This one, we had a fair amount of drinks. But we had to work a way out. Because half a mile down, we had another reservation at the Sazerac House. The Sazerac House is a beautiful, beautiful place. If you're ever down in New Orleans, you have to go check it out. It's beautiful. You know, they have a ton of great whiskey. Now, since it was an event, they made sure to have all the good whiskey. And we tried some of the stuff that I've never even been able to try, like E.H. Taylor Barrel Proof. Amazing. Got to try the whole Weller lineup, which I've had four, but I had never tried the white label one, which is choose your perfect bourbon, or the orange label, which is a single barrel. Both amazing. Got to try the whole thing, which is six of them. So imagine even that, you know, half an ounce pours, you're trying six in the span of 30 minutes. And we had just tried Stag, E.H. Taylor single barrel, and E.H. Taylor barrel proof. So they hit, man. They still hit. So that was awesome to be there. And we had a Sazerac cocktail there. And I forgot what the name of the other cocktail was. And they used Sazerac the Forge, I think is the name, which is a very expensive type of Sazerac that they have. So that was that one. And that was actually, that concluded our night. We went back to the hotel. We got dinner, but we were feeling it and we just kind of knocked out. So the cool thing is that, you know, since everything is free, you don't have to feel terribly guilty about missing things unless you really wanted to do it or you really wanted to be there with, you know, someone you were going to meet. So the next day we woke up Thursday and it was the Terramana tequila pool party. It was chill. It was pretty cool. I got to meet Eric Castro, which I've also interviewed. He's a hungry bartender, owner of Polite Provision. Oh, they just sold it off, so no longer. But Raised by Wolves, yes, he's still the part of the owner group. Got to meet him. I've interviewed him for a podcast. And, you know, he's just one of the biggest names in the industry as a bartender. He has a couple cocktails that are very well known, like the Piña Verde, which is a piña colada with chartreuse, and Kentucky Buck, should be Kentucky Buck, yeah, which is a whiskey cocktail with strawberries, ginger beer. It's just another great cocktail. He made a drink for me there, so that was awesome. They had boba cocktails, Terramana. Lucy had it and enjoyed it. She got two of those. If Lucy gets two of those, you know the drink was good. After that, we went home, we went back to the hotel, refreshed up, went to the Bombay Sapphire Martini Social. And this was, you know, as elegant as it sounds, it was at the Chandelier Bar. Just we've always wanted a classic martini served, you know, the way, you know, kind of like martinis give that vibe. They're fancy, elegant. And that's what it was. There was jazz music playing. The bartenders were white suits, you know, just doing their job very professionally, stirring the way it gets stirred in the movie. A very nice glassware, and we had martinis there, and they were great. It's a very spirit forward drink. It really is. So not saying they're not good, but it's like you got to build up your palate there. But that was awesome. After that was kind of like one of the events I was really looking forward to, and that was the El Tequileño tasting event of Extrañejo. It's the first time they're releasing an Extrañejo, and their master distiller, Don Isaias, was going to be there. They had great music, great finger food. They had ají, they had pokey, they had, we had a batanga. We got to keep a little like cantarito with El Tequileño. Taste the Extrañejo, which is a beautiful, beautiful crystal bottle in a beautiful display box. The tasting was led by Tony Sayas himself, which, you know, that just makes any tasting better because you get to hear their thought process of how it went down, what they were searching for. And it just makes things, you know, much more special. The tequila is amazing. It's really good. And as it was opening up, it kept getting better and better. And it was just very tasty. I got to have two tries of it, equally as good. Got to talk a little bit with Don Isaias that night. And all for the next morning, we met up. I was able to set up an interview, had an interview with him, which will be released in the next couple of weeks. He's a great talk. And he's just, you know, they're very passionate about their product. And they've done a great job at, you know, welcoming tourism at their distillery. And then tequila with a hotel that they built, Casa Sayas. I also, you know, they gifted me a añejo signed by Tony Sayas himself. So that's also a very nice touch. That was awesome. And I can't wait to pop it open. But again, it's more of the moment there was just special. And that was actually the last thing we did. That I did. Because after that, we just kind of like wrapped it up and flew back. Overall, it was an amazing experience at Tales of the Cocktail. It's been at New Orleans since 2002. I strongly suggest that if you're really into the industry and really enjoy and want to learn not just about, you know, the specific spirit of your choice, there's a ton of events. There's a ton of learning experiences. I only went to one seminar, but they have over 100 seminars available. So there will be something that you find, and it's worth it. It's worth to going out and learning, networking, and meeting people. I got so many business cards from people we met. When we landed in LA, the guy sitting next to Lucy asked, oh, so what, you know, what he heard us talking about Tails, what brought you guys to Tails? We talk a little and he goes like, oh yeah, I'm also owner of these couple of brands. Here's my card. Let's, you know, I told him I do the podcast, and he has like 3-4 different spirit brands that, you know, I'm going to reach out in a couple of weeks and, you know, invite him to the podcast to see if he wants to come and talk about them. So overall, amazing experience. It's long. There's a lot of parties. So it is a lot of pacing and being smart, of course. Luckily, we were pretty smart. We didn't let, and it's really hot. So it's hard to not let the heat kind of affect you and just want to go in the AC. But yeah, can't wait to go next year. And hopefully a lot of more friends will be down there and we could all party over there together and, you know, learn a little bit about whatever seminars are available, whatever brands are out there, and just New Orleans. They got great sandwiches. All right, guys, stay tuned for the next coming episodes.